Well, on this Remembrance Day, that's also a Sunday, obviously we don't get this every year, I was thinking about what to preach on. And the temptation is to preach on the history of Canadian involvement in conflict. But, well, that's not preaching, that's a lecture on history, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just this isn't the place to do it. Which doesn't mean that we don't remember that as well on this day. And that's why the sermon title is simply Remember. And we remember both good and bad. And when we think of this Remembrance Day, most of us, I think, have a bit of a conflict with Remembrance Day. We look around at the freedoms we enjoy, and we know perfectly well that they came at a price. And we try not to think of the price, not because we're indifferent to it, but because we don't like that price, and we shouldn't like that price. It's a tragedy that the fallen world has reached the point where sometimes it seems the only way to deal with evil is killing people, which is at best a lesser evil. And yet on this day, on a Remembrance Day, we think of what's gone before in a political history sort of way, as well as a religious sort of way, a spiritual sort of way, because what's gone before has made now. Castaneda said that those who fail to learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat them, and it's one of those things that seems to be true. It's pretty hard to test it, but it, involving history and all. But when we think of what's gone on before, we want to pay attention to that, and we want to remember it, not simply because it makes us feel good or it reminds us of glories of the past, but so we know who we are, and even more, so we know how to behave. Our gospel lesson this morning, where Mark talks about two people, two kinds of people. We remember them both. They were just reviewed for us, and I suspect that in this congregation, if I would have said, well, we don't have to read the Mark passage, it's about, well, the people who want to make long prayers and about the rich people and the widow, you would have known exactly what I was talking about. We remember this story. But what some people struggle with in this whole idea of Remembrance Day, and I've had people who, well-meaning people, who have said, we shouldn't have Remembrance Day because we can't separate the two parts out. We've got like the horrors of war, which we shouldn't glorify at all or even remember. We should try and forget about them and hope they never happen again. While we remember the sacrifice of others, which is something we can learn from. And I think that's just foolish. If we forget the bad examples, it's just easier for us to do what the bad examples do. That's why we so frequently see in Jesus, and in Jesus' stories, and especially in Mark, we see comparisons all the time. And here's another one, where Jesus talks about the teachers of the law that want to be important, that want to be seen, that want to be known, and it leads right into this whole idea of rich people throwing in large amounts of money. So the language is very interesting here, because in the New International Version, at least, it says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Mark is the smallest gospel we have. Every word in Mark was chosen reasonably carefully, and we need to pay attention to that. That Jesus says everybody comes, they're putting their offerings in, but rich people throw in large amounts, where a widow puts in these two small coins. Why would you throw something in? Because you're too lazy to walk another step, or because you want it to be noticed? I don't think it's a stretch. I don't think it's an unreasonable interpretation here, that the rich people were saying, this is what we're doing. You need to notice this. And the widow simply did what she felt she needed to do. We look at this story and we say, which one would we rather be? I think most of us who are reasonably reserved and, well, the sort of stereotypical Canadian sense of decorum would want to be someone who puts something in rather than throwing it in, even without verses 43 and 44, where Jesus says, the widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty. It's a reminder to us that there are two ways of giving. Giving what you don't need and don't care about is fundamentally different to God than giving what actually matters. And it's also been, you can also read this story in other Gospels where it says what this woman has done will be remembered. Or Jesus has said this about other women in the Gospels, that what she's done will be remembered forever. And this widow, this anonymous widow, we still remember her today. We remember her sacrifice. And I don't know whether the designers of the lectionary had this in mind, that eventually this passage would be on Remembrance Day. But it certainly works. On Remembrance Day, we remember sacrifice. That's what poppies are about. We remember sacrifice. We don't remember just victory. We don't gloss over the fact that for some, who in the words of one, put themselves between home and war's desolation, we don't remember the good parts only, because it's the sacrifice that we take our lessons from. I am exceedingly grateful that I have not been called into military service. Not because I think it's particularly abhorrent, not because of my own personal philosophy of life, but because I'm glad I was never put in a position where I had to choose between killing somebody else and being killed. That's a horrifying decision to have to make. I am grateful that I never had to. But the fact that I never had to doesn't mean that I can't look at the sacrifices of those who went and not be grateful. And it doesn't mean that I can't look at their sacrifices and learn, because I can and I have. I've learned the lessons of sacrifice from people I've never met. I never met my Uncle Alan, who's provided my middle name, because he died in Italy in a tank in 1944. But I learned from him through my father talking about him and his willingness to go. My father's brothers, or half-brothers, were an interesting lot. They tended to be somewhat unpleasant in some ways, except for Alan, who was the life of the party, who had so much to live for, just like everyone, and everybody wanted him to be around, and yet he went. He did what he was called to do. I learned from that. I learned from when I was at First Presbyterian, people like Fred, David, and others, what it means to sacrifice in a way that isn't big and showy, it's just what you do. I'm a better person for knowing them and hearing their stories about what it meant to go and serve in the Second World War. They all came back so I could learn face to face. And I'm not just a better person, I'm a better Christian because of it. As I listen to some of their struggles with what it means to be a Christian in wartime. And I've learned because of the sacrifice of this widow, who looked at her responsibilities to the religious community and said, this is what it cost me, which was a tremendous sacrifice. Remembrance Day is about sacrifice and about our explicit acknowledgement that sacrifice matters, and that these people who went overseas, people that have given much or everything, weren't deluded, weren't foolish, but their willingness to sacrifice is worthy of emulation. I'm sure you will find people who will look at this passage of scripture and say the widow was foolish for giving all she had. I suspect you'd find many. And yet I don't see Jesus saying she's foolish. I see Jesus saying this widow has done more than all of them. She's put her eyes and her attention on something that's more than what's just here. She's willing to go past what is easy and what is most convenient. And in Remembrance Day, whether we're remembering the widow or we're remembering, for many of us, friends and family members who served, wherever that might have been, we're saying this matters. Sacrifices that have allowed us to be who we are, whether they were made by our parents just in our growing up, or those who paid the ultimate price to prevent evil from expanding, those all matter. And we set aside time specifically to remember, just so we won't forget. It's easy for us to forget, especially things we don't like. It's easy for us to pretend they never happened, when they're not right in front of us all the time. Listening on the radio on the way here, and some of the people in the Legion and such organizations are wondering what's going to happen as more and more of our veterans from the Second World War die. And in other places and in other discussions that were a little more involved, I put it to you that actually we'll probably just continue right on the way we're going. The people who are very interested in remembrance services are shockingly young. I'm surprised every time I see the television camera sweep over any of these televised remembrance services to see how many people are young. The Highway of Heroes, not ours, but the one in Toronto where fallen soldiers make their last ride, is on both sides crowded with people younger than any of us here, because they are trying to remember. They are looking at the sacrifice and saying, this matters. We remember things, even when they're unpleasant, because of what they can do for us. And the lessons of sacrifice, whether in Remembrance Day or through a widow giving everything she has, are tremendously valuable for us. In a short period of time, we'll have 2 minutes of silence, which is tremendously long. Our culture is so filled with noise and distractions that 2 whole minutes of silence seems sometimes like an hour. But in a very real sense, isn't that the least we can do? And when you remember, when we take that time of silence to remember that which has made you the person you are. And if that involves those of your family members or friends or whatever it is who have served, that's wonderful. But remember that the lessons of sacrifice are so much larger than that. And if for you it's a time to remember the sacrifices that your parents made, or to reflect on the sacrifice of this widow, that's perfectly fine. The 2 minutes are a sign of respect to those who are willing to sacrifice for people they never, ever met. Us. So as we remember today and throughout the day, take the time to remember the lessons of sacrifice that you've learned that have turned you into the wonderful people that you are, and to know that it costs someone for every one of those lessons. Amen.